Romans chapter 12. All right, we're going through the gifts that God has given to each one of us, and we understand that God has given us each things in order for us to edify the body of Christ. So God has especially graced you with something. He's given you something. It's a characteristic, or what we've called a motivation, that you have in order to benefit the body of Christ, to help each other out, to encourage one another. Much has been made of the spiritual gifts, and maybe even too much. God has blessed us and gifted us in ways to edify the body of Christ. Discovering those gifts, I think it's helpful to know how God has wired you, for sure. But I say to you, more important than identifying that gift and knowing, because honestly, God wants us all to serve, right? God wants us all to serve Him and to be active and to, in fact, we could go through the gifts that have been given to us, and we're all responsible for all of those, right? God did not give us the spiritual gifts to just say, hey, you are this, you do that, don't worry about the rest. There's plenty of scripture to support and back up that we're supposed to all be merciful. We're all supposed to be givers. We're all supposed to have order and be able to lead people. We're all supposed to, and the list goes on and on. Every one of us, please take careful note, folks, that as I give these and as we go through these, that this is not something that we just identify, okay, I'm that one, and I don't have to do anything else. No, we all do. The main thing that we learn, that I want you to get, is that the body is made up of many different kinds of individuals. I'm not necessarily that way, and I think that he or she is. The point is that I learn to appreciate you. You learn to appreciate others. And you can get out of this. I will be absolutely thrilled if out of this, not everybody knows exactly what they are or a combination of a couple. My greater joy would be that as we have gone through this, that you would just learn to have a deeper appreciation for different ways in which people minister. Different ways in which God has blessed you to edify each other. And I'll tell you, I'm glad that there's a variety of different people to help me out that's given here. And we all, if we were all one, we would be very lopsided and we would kind of thump along the road, but we wouldn't be able to smoothly go. And so I'm trying to get through these. There's four left. We're going to do two tonight, and we're going to try to do two the following week. And not that we just got to get done with them, but I just want to go through. I would rather go to a passage and preach it rather than just give characteristics of a person. But I still say we're going to go through it because I just want you to be able to identify, not so much of like, yeah, that's her or that's him, but just to say, yeah, somebody else operates that way. And I ought to be thankful for somebody that thinks this way. So, can we make an agreement that that's the way you're going to approach this? Okay, I keep saying this, but I want you to, as you learn, just learn about, maybe you're going to hear tonight about you. But hey, for everybody else, I want you to learn to appreciate those people. And if it is you, if one of the ones that we go through is you, the answer is not this, right? Yep, that's me. That's how I serve this church. No. In fact, we learned this morning, it's not about us, right? It's about Him. And it's so let's not get proud and sit up in your seat and say, yep, that's me. I know who He's talking about. Everybody knows it's me. Honestly, you're going to do the church a very big disservice in that, because the point is this is how God has gifted us to bless other people. And so keep that in mind, folks, as we go through it. Keep it in mind that we are learning about other people. Tonight, we're actually going to learn about what the Scripture says. Look at verse 8. Or he that, in fact, we're going to go a little bit out of order. And to tell you the truth, that was a mistake of mine. But I didn't want to, I had studied one, got the information down, spent some fair time on it. I was like, I skipped. So we're actually going to come back. I thought, you know what, I'm not going to just do another one. We'll get to that. We're just going to do that. And we're going to move around a little bit, okay? That was my mistake. But we're going to look at the middle of verse 8 here. We're going to see, or he that exhorteth, actually we're going to come back to that one and get it in the right order, but we'll do that second. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, that will be later. Let him do it with simplicity. Tonight we're going to start with he that ruleth with diligence, and then we'll end up with, not tonight, but he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So tonight let's start with he that ruleth, okay? Like each time, I've got another rather humorous story concerning all these people that are gifted a little bit differently. Don't get bogged down in the illustration thinking, you know, whether that's legitimate or not. Enjoy it. But it helps you to understand and appreciate the way other people deal with things. It was a project that seemed impossible. The church had voted to design, build, and outfit the Christian education building. That in itself was not so unusual. What was unusual was that they had voted to do it themselves. This church had never been a do-it-yourself church. They had professionals clean the carpet. They hired people to put up the Christmas decorations. And in general, they tended to be less than involved in physical activities. The yard was mowed by a lawn care company. And when it came time to paint the outside of the youth center, even the youth voted to have it done. Their concept of involvement was to make it to the business meetings where they voted on who to hire to do whatever. But for some unbelievable reason, they had voted to make this educational building a do-it-yourself project. The talent was there, mind you, but the organizational skills to motivate that talent and distribute the tasks was sorely lacking, and at least up until now, the commitment on the part of the congregation to make themselves available and see such an endeavor through seemed like a pipe dream. At Belleville Baptist Church, even commitments to attend parties were made and not kept. They meant well, it was just that the church and its activities weren't at the top of everybody's list of priorities. So they came and they did whatever was scheduled when nothing else interfered. Usually, nothing did. The Board of Deacons was stunned, and mind you, none of them had the time or the inclination to pour concrete and to nail boards, let alone supervise 200 or 300 semi-willing volunteers. So the board meeting following the church's decision was more like a wake than a celebration. Sammy Service, a longtime member of the board, opened the discussion. "It won't be so bad," he mused. "I'll help out on Saturdays." Paul Prophet cringed. He had seen Sammy's stab at carpentry excellence and was not impressed. "Why don't you stay home and pray?" he suggested in his usual not-so-subtle way. Sammy was offended. He was always available to do everything, and nobody seemed to appreciate it. Martin Mercy was the next to speak. "I just don't want anyone's feelings hurt because they didn't get a chance to participate," he added. "Maybe we need to just have a general work days and let anyone do anything they want. That way no one will be offended." Eddie Exhorter grinned. "That would build fellowship, and we would learn a lot from our mistakes," he chimed in. "So would the community," Paul laughed. "They would learn how not to build a building. Remember that parable in Mark where Jesus told about how stupid it is to start building something you can't finish? I believe that was in Luke 14, about the 28th verse," said Ronnie Research. "I think he was talking about building a tower and not having enough money to finish it. It was part of a parable which used two illustrations to illustrate the danger of partial discipleship. And I think the real intent of the passage is to encourage commitment rather than to deal with building concepts." With that, Ronnie sank into his chair. You knew you probably wouldn't hear from him again for a while. Doesn't matter where it's found, Paul Prophet reacted somewhat harshly. The key is that it deals with a principle, and that principle ought to govern our philosophy. Let's don't embarrass ourselves in front of the whole city because of a few wild-eyed members of the congregation thinking that they can save a few bucks. Gary Giver picked up on that one quickly. Good stewardship is at the heart of the New Testament commitment, he began. Maybe God is speaking to us through the congregation so we can give more to missions. Besides, we'll save a bundle on contractors' commissions even if we have to sub out some of the harder tasks. I say let's do it. No one wanted to hear that, but when it came to conserving resources, Gary was always the first to suggest doing it the least expensive way, not necessarily to cut quality, but always to cut costs. He made budget time a real experience, a real long experience. The chairman looked around for more suggestions. Finally, he eyed Andy administration out of the corner of his eye. Andy seldom contributed much, particularly when there was nothing he could do to solve the problem at hand. This time, however, you could see a struggle going on in his soul. Finally, he spoke, the key to making this thing work is organization. We have to divide the tasks into workable segments, enlist qualified people, schedule reasonable times, and follow up careful to be sure they've done what they were told. Boy, you make it sound easy, Martin Mercy exclaimed. But we mustn't put the folks on a guilt trip just to make them work. Andy responded quickly. Wait a minute, he began. This was their idea. They won't become responsible unless we hold their feet to the fire. They'll grow through it all, Eddie Exhorter chimed in again. That seemed to be all he had on his mind. After all, even the adversity will work together for good. Yeah, Paul Prophet came back, and they'll leave the church for good too. For the first time in a long time, Andy became tenacious. No, it'll work with the proper supervision. Supervision is everything. But who can we get to oversee such a mammoth enterprise? Asked the chairman, getting a bit weary already. I'll help, Sammy Service chimed in. Like CNN News that came around every 30 minutes, he seemed to think it a sin not to be volunteering for something on every half hour. You're going to help by staying home, remember? Paul laughed. Funny, Sammy responded. Very funny. Silence followed. Finally, Andy spoke again. I'll head it up on one condition, he began. There was more silence. Nobody knew whether to send him to have his head examined or take him up on his offer before he realized what he had said. What condition? Paul exploded. He said, you want to be paid. No, nothing like that, Andy answered. I want the freedom to do it my way. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings, are you? Martin Mercy asked. I might, Andy retorted. If we're going to get the job done, these folks are going to have to grow up. I'll organize it, schedule it, and see it through. But I don't want the rest of you looking over my shoulder telling me what to do. That was fine with most of the guys. Paul muttered something under his breath about Andy having a Messiah complex. But when someone asked him what he was saying, he changed the subject. So Belleville Baptist Church embarked on the impossible. Like Noah's neighbors, nobody thought it could be done, and nobody was sure why they tried. At first, sheer enthusiasm brought the numbers, but Andy was a taskmaster, and before long people got their feelings hurt because he would assign them where he needed them, not where they wanted to work. If they volunteered and didn't show, Andy called them the next morning and asked them why they didn't make it. Next time they usually did. Martin Mercy spent most of his time praying for folks whose feelings got hurt. Paul Prophet spent most of his time complaining about Andy's attitude. Eddie walked around spiritualizing, and Gary kept calling Andy to tell him how he could save a few $100s by using secondhand lumber. But believe it or not, the job got done, and it got done well. Not everyone was in love with Andy at the end of the project, but they were so impressed how it all came together. They overlooked his tactics and chose to give credit not for his personality but for his performance. Without him, it would have been a disaster, but somehow this one man visualized the long-range task at hand, saw how to break it down into workable segments, assigned those jobs to dependable people, and made sure that there was no duplication of effort or slackness of spirit. Every church needs at least one Andy administrator. Maybe not a lot of them, but at least one. They need to give them the freedom to oversee major events if the accomplishment of those tasks is crucial to the ministry of the church. And it continues on. I'll stop. All right, so here you have a little bit of a picture of this administrator, and we call him in Romans 12:8, what? He that ruleth. Okay, when you look at this, this ruling, it's somebody that is going to lead. It's somebody that's going to organize and to guide and to direct, as you got the picture here. So somebody that is willing to lead, somebody that's willing to be in charge, somebody that's willing to take up the task and make sure that that the job gets done. So let's look at a few things here. We're going to go faster than normal because, again, I want to do two tonight. And so let's look at just a few things. Remember the main purpose. Yes, we can identify maybe this is how God has made you, but really we need to learn to appreciate people, because there might be some situations where you've recognized people just, you know, they've got the ways they do it, and they're just so, but you know, you think about it. Somebody's got to do it. And somebody's got to lead, and somebody's got to organize. And so I just ask you, let's be thankful for these kind of people. All right, so this person, their basic motivational drive, obviously they're driven to lead others through organization and even delegation. And so they're willing to go to the drawing board and to organize everything so that it can be done. They don't necessarily do the job, although they can. They don't necessarily do the job, but they do see that it gets done. And so you can be thinking about who in the scriptures best pictures this. So that's their basic motivational drive, is they see a task to do and they design and organize a way for it, for the people to get it done. Some spiritual expressions this have. This person has the ability to analyze, to look at the picture and to be able to see it from start to finish. They are very focused. They are willing to delegate and not do it themselves. That's important for this kind of a person. They delegate. They appoint people to do a certain task. They can discern people and what they do best. So they have an ability to kind of look and to understand certain people. They see tasks completed with efficiency. Efficiency is on their mind. They see that the job gets done and is not left hanging. They tend to be good stewards of time and efficient in that way. They don't focus on helping the individual, but helping the whole. Because again, their mindset is on the whole project. They avoid expressions of emotion as a waste of time when they should be working. Okay? A few positive things. They are able to see the big picture. Some of us cannot see the big picture, and we need that, somebody to see the big picture. They are organized kind of a person. They are able to take the tasks and to organize it into the small. They thrive on seeing how to use everyone, even people that seem to be unusable. They're gonna be able to find a place for everyone. Very discerning, as I already mentioned, discerning with different people and people types and abilities. Again, concerned with the whole, delegate for efficiency, not convenience. With every positive, though, there's some negatives that come along with that, and some negatives here. They can appear uninvolved, because again, they're not necessarily doing, but they're organizing the task. And so, you know, somebody might say, what did they do? The fact of the matter is they got it all together. And so we need them, but they can appear uninvolved. They appear indefinite, or excuse me, indifferent. Sometimes, you know, not caring so much about the person that cut their finger, but you need to get the job done. Okay, so they can appear indifferent. They see people as vehicles, not humans. You know, there's a means to getting that job done. And so that could be a negative thing. They are usually very or even overly detailed, just thinking through all the details. Some are not, and you would say, why is this person so detailed? We need to learn to appreciate that, appreciate somebody with detail. They tend to blame those who did not fulfill their job. You know, if the job didn't get done, They're willing to point the finger, but you didn't do your job, and that's why we are not where we're supposed to be. So a few negative things. How can you help a person that is this ruling, this administrator type person with who they are? You appeal to their sense of order or perspective. Here's what I mean by that. If their sin is getting in the way of accomplishing the church's objectives, that is going to convict them. And so this person that is, you know, if what I'm doing is keeping us back from accomplishing what we need to for the Lord, this person is going to really think more about that. And so just food for thought there. How can this ruler or administrator help the church grow or help us individually grow? They can help us establish priorities. Many of us struggle with priorities and what's important, you know, the bigger stones that we put into the bucket. And so this kind of a person is going to help us with priorities. What's the most important thing here? What's the first thing we ought to do? And so organization. So they can help us establish priorities. They can help us with scheduling needs. It's important that we have our needs scheduled and figured out how to do a task. And they can also help us by setting goals and to look and say, hey, wouldn't it be good if we can accomplish this by this sort of time and give us something to shoot for? And so that's very helpful. Areas in which they best serve in the church, well, of course, any leadership or ministry positions or any leadership or ministry leadership. Obviously, this person would do well in office management, being able to direct and organize and be very detailed with the situation there. But they can also be very helpful with training us in time or task management, helping us to know, again, what's important when. And can you think of the biblical example that we see? Somebody, I'm giving you some hints. Well, maybe before I give a hint, anybody come to mind when you think of somebody like this? Okay, Martha, she was a doer, right? She did a lot of work. I'm thinking somebody even more that really did some organization.
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah was the one that I was thinking of, because Nehemiah, think about what he accomplished in a short time. Now, I'm not saying that he had the spiritual gift of ruling. You know, of course, but we see Nehemiah. In fact, really quickly, turn to Nehemiah. We don't have a whole lot of time for this, but turn to Nehemiah, and let's just see some things here. Let's go to chapter 1. And I'll just give you a couple points here that we see Nehemiah being very directed. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, okay? No, where is, you say, where is Nehemiah? Well, he's right there, but in the scriptures, he is here. Let's look at chapter 1. First of all, we see his vision. He was able to visualize things. He was able to look and see what needed to be done. Notice chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And then Hanani, one of the brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped. I don't know if I have the right thing here. Let's go to chapter 2. And verse 5. Well, we see in chapter 2 and verse 5 a little bit here. I must be off on the first thing. But we do know that, and probably just because I'm up here and I'm a little pressured, that I can't find it, but we know that Nehemiah was he visualized what God wanted him to do. He was able to take what God wanted, and he was able to then see what happened. You can see in chapter 2 and verse 5 just a little bit of his vision. I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And he's going to go in and he's going to share some about that. But this person has the ability to visualize. Certain, we know that Nehemiah was able to look back at Judah and say, hey, listen, I want to be able to go back and I want to build this place back up. He was able to, in chapter 3, there's no, you can thumb through it, but you're not going to see it. But in chapter 3, he established and broke down different goals in which the people were going to work to establish, seeing that it was followed through. Back in chapter 2 and verses 6 and 8, we see just the resources that were there. And he would share that with the king in this chapter of how he would say, okay, I'm going to need this and I'm going to need this. Would you be willing to supply this? In chapter 4, he endured opposition to finish the task. We understand that he saw opposition, but he was not going to stop. He was going to continue on with it. And then later in chapter 8, and I know that I didn't really allow you time to get into this, but in chapter 8, we see in that chapter the finished project that came in a very short time. And so Nehemiah was an individual that was gifted in this way to be able to take, and really it was kind of an impossible accomplishment. But God took, and of course a lot of it was God that did it, but he used an individual that could see and visualize, plan, organize, and get the job done in a very short amount of time. And so, again, the point of this, back to Romans chapter 12, the point of this is God uses people in a congregation, in a body like this, that have an ability to organize. You know, sometimes when we get underneath that kind of a person, we're like, yeah, that person just always tells us what to do. They are always bossing us around. They always have a plan. You know, they're always telling me, just do this and do that. You know what? I praise the Lord sometimes for that. I praise the Lord for somebody that's willing to be able to think through, to be able to put it down and just, in some cases, just tell me what to do, because I don't, you know, you might not have the ability to do something like that or think through it. But there's certain people that God just blesses to be able to think through from start to finish of how this needs to be done. And we praise the Lord for those people. And so I want to encourage you, when we get into a project, maybe we're working on Christmas Hope, or maybe we're, you know, organize a certain ministry, praise the Lord for the people that are willing to step up to the plate and start delegating, start doing that, because a lot of times it was absolutely necessary for those things to get done. And so we praise the Lord for those kind of people. Thank God for those people. I want to take the time that we have left to move on to the next one. So we go back to the beginning of Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Okay, so here we see the exhorter. I struggle. Do I read another one of these things? We already read one. That's probably enough for the night. Okay. Maybe I won't read that one. Okay, you know what the story is going to be. We got a person. I don't know. That's tough for me. These stories are kind of funny. Let me just review myself with it. Yeah, it was a good one. That was a good one. Oh boy, yeah, that's right. Hey, maybe I'll share it with you another time. Let's get into this, okay? What about exhortation? What about a person? Again, just because of the time, it'll probably take me 10 minutes just to read the story. So, exhortation, a person that will exhort. This person that's an exhorter is, they've got a drive to help Christians grow. They want to see Christians grow, and very specifically, the exhorter is an individual that almost glories in turmoil. When struggles come, you know, one of their favorite passages is James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. You know, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, they get excited. When trials come up, they're thinking, oh, good. And we know. In fact, I would say their favorite verse is Romans 8:28. And we know what? That all things work together for good. And they're always quoting it, okay? So if you know somebody that's always quoting it, could be that they are. Because they're always looking at the negative. You know, they're looking at this, but they're saying, God's going to use this. God's going to use this. And they're excited about it. God's going to, oh, good, they're going through a trial. God's going to use it. That's this person here. So their drive is to help people grow, but they usually see growth through tribulation experiences. This is the exhorter, okay? Spiritual expressions. What are some of the things? This person is going to tend to counseling. They want to look at an individual. They want to get alone with that individual, and they want to help them grow through the situation. And their goal is growth. They really want not just to talk, but they want them to grow through this time. So they're counseling, teaching, things like that. They are going to be used in encouraging the downhearted. You know, that person that's down and out, that person that's going through the trial, they got to almost pick that person out and say, okay, good, they're going through this. I want to be able to help them to where they can succeed and get victory in the end. So they encourage the downhearted, and they are quick to tell them how they need to feel by doing this. You know, they're very much they're a problem solver with counseling. They're going to solve some problems with counseling. They are very specific and solution-oriented, always have an answer, and it's going to be a spiritual answer. There's always, you know, the Word of God, and you know, a problem comes, they're probably not going to listen very well, they're probably not going to cry on your shoulder, they're going to be quick to give 3 points so that you can get right, okay? And men, we tend to sometimes be this way, whether you have the spiritual gift or not. We don't, you know, when there's a problem that needs to be fixed, we've got, you do this, 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 and this, and we'll be all good. And hopefully you got it and you're going to grow in it. And they're genuine about the growth. They're excited that the person did it, but they're not so sentimental in listening and walking through with a person. So kind of an individual that's gifted that way. Don't get frustrated at them. Be thankful for them. Some positive things, again, application to growth is important. Always looking for growth. They're wanting to see you move forward, and there's get very frustrated, probably in one of the negatives, but very frustrated when there's not growth, because that's the goal. They want to see you go forward, and when you're not doing right, it's very discouraging to them, very discouraging that you're not growing, and can actually get frustrated that there's no growth. Why? Because they want to see you go forward. They want to see you grow. Application of growth is very important. Strong emphasis on God's timing for everything. God has a perfect time. He's got a purpose. He's doing some amazing things right here. Just wait. He's going to get us through. And so God's timing, steps to action. Again, the points. Listen, just follow the scriptures. Tell us right there. Just do that and you'll be good. And there's no need to hem-haw around about it. You know, let's do it and you can be done with it. Scripture memory can be very important to this person because, again, scripture has the answers. Go to the scripture, read the Bible, you'll be fixed. Okay, again, all things work together for good. Love to make a scripture real and relevant. Quick to go to the scripture and just, here's the answer. Now just apply it, follow it, and you'll be good. Negative characteristics: their self-worth is tied to your response that they have offered, and so if you're not growing based on what I gave you, you know, I told you 3 things. They can feel very dejected. Like, you know, what did I do? You know, so I'm not very worth anything. So again, self-worth is tied to your response to the help that they offered. They tend to be to oversimplify solutions. You know, 1, 2, 3, and you've got it. So maybe more complex than that, but that's just a negative characteristic of this kind of a person. Sometimes not poor listeners. Why? Because they're thinking about what to tell you next. You know, again, they've got their mode and method. They're not listening to your, you know, sob story. They're wanting to give the solution. Just listen to my solution and you can be helped. Okay, so maybe not the greatest listener. Overconfident in prescribing cures. Again, here it is. You know, follow the steps and you'll be good. A little overconfident with some things. Can tend to be weak in evangelism. Just because, and why is that? Why would an exhorter be weak at evangelism? I'll tell you, because that the person is caring much more about saved individuals already. You know, it's growth, spiritual growth, and so they'll commission somebody else to do it, but that's not their thing. So sometimes they're not even focused on the loss; they're focused on the people. Okay, so that's another thing. And it could be that they end up counseling over experience. Of course, we can't over-counsel because we got God's word. But certainly, because it's such a formula, I could just give you this, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but God's word does. And so there can be some tendencies that way. How can you rebuke or help a person that's an exhorter? Again, show them how their sin is affecting others around them. Again, if my sin is affecting you from growing, then that's going to really hit me hard if I'm an exhorter. And so we can think that way. How can they help us grow? And that is exactly what they do. They help us grow, okay? That's what they care about, is helping us grow. And so they are driven to help people grow. And of course, also handling trials and coming out with the right attitude and being victorious. You know, that's all they care about, you know, is that you come out with a good attitude and victorious. Just have the right attitude, have the right spirit, have the right attitude, be victorious. You know, God's given it to you. Live that way. And so that's the exhorter. Where do they serve best in the church? Of course, preachers, teachers, disciplers, pastors tend to be exhorters. And a biblical example that we have in here. Anybody know somebody that was always exhorting? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul seemed to care more about them growing and doing right than he cared about stepping on their toes or making them feel bad or whatever like that. He was all about their growth and he wanted to see their growth. And so he was very much minded to help these people to give them their solutions. And listen, he was at face to them. He'd tell them, this is your problem. This is what you need to do. Here's the solution. Fix it and God will bless. And of course, you know, very much minded that even in trials and tribulations, that God had a purpose, right? God was doing something. God was doing amazing things. And it doesn't matter whether I live or die, you know, but to honor the Lord. It doesn't, you know, when I'm weak, I'm strong, you know, and therefore, you know, glorify God with everything that God has given to me. And so we understand the Apostle Paul was certainly an individual that was an exhorter. You know, we can learn to appreciate somebody that cares about us. Sometimes they'll step on our toes. Sometimes they'll give us solutions and we think, I just want you to listen. I just want you to care. And remember, and by the way, if you are an exhorter, we need to be merciful. Just because you're an exhorter, don't say, that's not me. I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough. Just because you identify who you are and say, listen, that's not how God made me. I'm not merciful. I'm just wanting you to grow. I just want to give you the solution. I just want you to grow. Pastor got up on Sunday and told me that that's what God gifted me that way. But God never said that you can exhort and not be merciful. We've got to have it all. It's just that tends to be your motivation. And so when we look at these people, they're probably not going to be as merciful. You as an exhorter need to gain mercy. We need to be merciful towards people. We need to care. Jesus had compassion on the people. We want them to grow, but we need to have compassion. In fact, sometimes we need to show that compassion so that they will hear what we're saying. Sometimes they need to see the love before they grow. In fact, that's the way that Lord Jesus Christ did it. I believe that Jesus Christ definitely was an exhorter. He was all of these things perfectly. He definitely was an exhorter, but he always pulled people in through love. Okay? So if you're an exhorter, we need to make sure in love first as we give truth so that they can get right. But you know, for everybody else, when somebody comes along, whether they've shown that love or not, when somebody comes along, folks, understand something. They do care about you because it's motivating. That's why they're doing what they do, because they care. And they want to help you. They want to give you the scripture so that you get a solution, so that you can go follow through the spiritual, scriptural solution that's there and follow the steps and be right. And they'll be there with you to rejoice when you rejoice. And they'll probably be there to weep when you weep because they care about your growth. And so we praise the Lord for the exhorters. We praise the Lord for the people that God gives to us. And so all in all, as we look at these things, I'm almost half tempted to go into the next one because we have still a little bit of time here and do three at once. But we need to be thankful for the people. So what I want you to do is I want you to not so much look around right now. I'm not asking you to kind of like, you know, do a little field trip like that. But I'm asking you to think about how God has blessed this church. I want you to think, and again, this is... The spiritual gifts are not necessarily personalities, although there's different personalities with different gifts. But I want you to think around to the people and how they operate and not analyze them and critique them negatively, but to, again, think about how, okay, so you were in a prayer meeting back there before the church started and so-and-so talked and your thoughts were as, I don't understand why he always says this. I don't understand why she... I was actually thinking about that back there when we were in our prayer time. And it's so easy to analyze what other people are doing. And if it's different than the way we would, we quickly do what? We quickly write them off, or we quickly criticize. We quickly say, what are you doing? Did not the scriptures in another passage, and I forget if it's in 1 Corinthians or if it's in Ephesians, talk about each body part and say, if we were all like you, we wouldn't be able to grow, right? What about the toe? What about the nose? What about the ear? What about the head? What about that other body part? And what I want to encourage you as we go through this and we finish this, hopefully next week, the last two, I think we have the merciful person and we have the giver. We've got two more. As we go through these things, is not so much to identify who everybody is, but to look around and say, you know, that person over there, sometimes I get frustrated with her. She's always bossing people around. But to step back and say, you know what, I'm really grateful for somebody. As we need to step up to the plate and to lead and to organize. And you know, that person over there that all they do is work and they don't let anybody in on what they do. Well, I'm really thankful that they're there to work. And you know, I think about this other person over here that is always, you know, studying it out. They always got, you know, they're students of God's word, but they're never working, you know, but they're always got some good answers though when you come to a certain topic. I want to encourage you folks. I'm telling you, if we don't get anything else from the gifts, honestly, it's not my priority, nor I don't really care if everybody knows their spiritual gift. I think it's helpful. You ought to be serving anyway. But what we need is to learn to say, you know what, I appreciate him. Because, boy, they're just, whether you can identify a gift or not, but I do appreciate how this person adds to this congregation. Boy, without them, we would struggle. And I really appreciate her and her and him and her and him. Folks, we need to learn to appreciate each other. And what I want to encourage you to is not go home and make a list of, okay, Carrie's definitely that guy. And Bonnie's definitely this lady. And Bettina's, oh man, that was so clear. She's this. And go around and, you know, that almost is a negative thing. You know, we're almost like there. I would encourage you not to forget what label you would put and what one, you know, that's the ruler, that's the exhorter, I say forget that. But you know, here's what I want you to do. Many of you pray for each other, and I hope that you do. I pray for you. I try to pray for you as much as I try to pray for you a lot through the week individually. But as we pray for each other, I want to encourage you through prayer or even writing it down and then praying, I want to encourage you to identify things that person helps our church move forward. And not write down the negative things. Boy, write down, I'm so grateful this person does this. I'm so grateful for this person. Boy, they are faithful this way. And this person does that. And if you can't find anything, then ask God to show you, because I know that they do some things around here to help. You know, if we would all do that, I think it would bring about a different spirit than us going around picking apart the things that they don't do. See, all that's doing is dividing us up. But if we can learn to say, you know what, I appreciate Andy here that, you know, yeah, he turns people off, but praise the Lord that this guy got things done. You know what, there are people in our congregation that do that. And I'm very grateful because we get things done. But I'm also grateful for the other people that are just very opposite of that. This is just caring about, you know, mercy. You know, they're just always there to listen and let you cry on their shoulder. And just all through these things. So I'm giving you an assignment. I'm not going to ask you if you've done it, but I think it will help you and it will help our church. We only have two left, but go home. And I want you to just find areas in which you're thankful for each person that's here. Each person. If they come here, thank the Lord. God, and I'm just really grateful this person. They just have a smile on their face, and they're always just fun to be around. Find something that's a blessing. And if we have that attitude, overall, we're going to come back to it in 1 Corinthians. When we get back, in 1 Corinthians was the passage I was talking about. When we come back to 1 Corinthians, we're going to see, learn to appreciate each other. Because it's a body. I'm glad I've got this arm. I'm glad I've got this hand. I'm glad I've got these eyes. I'm glad. Are you thankful for the body parts that you have? I am. And when they go bum on us, we really realize it, don't we? And so don't just think, man, that ugly elbow, you know, I don't know why in the world. You know, I'm glad I got the elbow. So be thankful for whatever parts people are. Like, that's the point. It's not so much identifying, the point is appreciation. Father, would you help us to learn to appreciate each other? We need to appreciate each other, how we are. It's just different people are motivated differently, and we are so critical. We are so quick to shake our heads of why that person does it this way. But Lord, we're so grateful, because if it weren't for those different parts, we would not be the church that we are. And so God, I thank you in whole and in general right now. I'm thankful that you have chosen and you've ordained and you've graced these people to be exactly who you want them to be. Lord, help us never to overlook any other areas. Help us to be all of these things. Lord, use us in these special ways, God. So take us and just help us to be used and motivated and dedicated to your service. So God, we're thankful for what we can learn. In Jesus' name, amen.